Welcome to Books in the Biz, the show where real-world business meets real-world results. Hosted by business strategist Dan Paulson and veteran CFO Richard Beltry, this podcast breaks down the stories, trends, and financial insights shaping today's companies. Dan brings decades of experience helping leaders simplify operations, build strong cultures, and scale with confidence. Rich adds his deep financial expertise from guiding organizations across healthcare, construction, logistics, and professional services. Together, they dig into what's really happening behind the numbers and what it means for owners, executives, and anyone trying to grow a stronger, smarter business. This is practical conversation, real talk, and tools you can use right now. Welcome to Books in the Biz.
Welcome back to Books in the Biz. Rich, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very good. Enjoying this lovely Thursday afternoon. And today we are talking about fractional executives, which is a subject that I think you and I have talked about personally, but we've never really brought it to the podcast level, or at least with our discussion anyway. I think we both noticed a trend, and that's what we're going to spend our time talking about today, because it seems like everyone is now a fractional executive of some sort. And I know when we launched XCXO a couple years ago, I did one of those job postings on a certain link site that we're all probably familiar with and probably all have a page on somewhere. And you get 50 contacts to start with. And what I found out of those first 50 contacts was about 48 of them were people that thought they were at executive level with less than 7 years of experience. In fact, most of them had less than 5 years worth of experience. And I've noticed as I've searched other people that talk about their fractional executive experience, that there's a lot of them that are under the age of 30 and really don't have a lot of business experience at all. And I'm just curious to what you're seeing on your end.
So yes, I think that there's a boom right now in the number of people who are jumping into this fractional market. I have read articles recently about, you know, people who have been laid off, and this becomes sort of a mid ground between when do I find a next, you know, my next job. So
actually, I think we did talk to somebody like that too, didn't we? As early on as we were interviewing people, there was one of them, and within, I think it was less than a month, she had already taken a job with somebody else. So it was just a tide me over thing.
So you had a little bit of that, and then you had a little bit of, you know, whether it's, you know, getting held out into that the wave of layoffs that have happened. There was an article recently that said, you know, there's more people starting their own, you know, businesses like that in the fractional world than there have been in a long time. It's like a very, very big number. It's outstanding to people who are looking at these statistics. And I think that I'll just start it off. I see a couple problems with it. I mean, I'm a big proponent of doing your own thing, you know, make money off of being who you are, being, you know, use your relationships, work with your, I don't want to say your friends, cause that's not always your best client, but you know, work with the people that, you know, people who've gone out and started another job or were working something else, and you can lend them a hand and do, you know, some projects here or there. I'm a big proponent of that. What I'm not a proponent of is sort of the not understanding what the job is, you know, immediately understanding fractional as part-time, which is not necessarily true. And then leading it down that direction of almost misinformation on what the job is supposed to be. You know, if I mean, I could tell a quick story. When I first went into being a fractional anything, I walked in and essentially took my first job as a fractional CFO. And the first thing I was doing was reconciling their books. I was doing accounting work. And when they came back to me and said, well, why are you doing that work if you're the fractional CFO? I hadn't been in the mix for long enough to be able to defend what I was doing. You know, I knew that it had to be done. I knew I could do it quickly. I knew that as a foundation for what I wanted to do, I needed that done. I can say that now, but back then it was like, I have no idea. And I think to a certain extent, that is the type of thing that has led to what is a fractional CFO or COO, like what job is supposed to be included in that. Fractional is not supposed to be part-time. It doesn't mean that you get a high-level guy who's willing to do your bookkeeping. It's you're getting a high-level guy that should be embedded into your management and doesn't have to be there 40 hours a week because he can do the job and he can share his time with other people at the executive level. It's, you know, you want a part-timer, go hire a part-timer. You want me to find you a part-timer, I'll help you find a part-timer. But, you know, that's not what I'm here for. You know, I'm coming in to try to help you build a strategy, build a projection, where are you headed, fix something that's broken. You know, these are the types of things where that should be what you think of me for, not, oh, you know, I can't get my books reconciled. I'm 6 months behind. So, Rich, can you help me out? You're going to get a lot of pushback, and then I look bad. but I think there's a big jump of everybody jumping into this, but by jumping into it, that doesn't mean you just grab the title. You know, you have to play into this is real. Like, people are relying on you for something, and what they're expecting is what you should be providing.
And I think a lot of that goes back to the example I made at the opening here, which is, you know, you have a number of people that have roughly 5 years or less of experience who are trying to pitch themselves as a senior level executive with experience that you just can't gain in a couple of years. I mean, you know, you look at your track record and your run time in business, and I look at mine and I go, okay, well, I've got 35 years dealing with this in multiple companies, and you might have multiple companies because, again, you know, a lot of these younger kids have already bounced around to 5 or 6 jobs in a 5-year period. They don't necessarily have the experience that somebody else might. And to me, that is not only concerning, but a little bit scary, because if you're putting your trust in this individual that they're going to solve your problem, because that's really what a fractional is brought in to do, is to fix a certain gap in the organization, where to hire somebody of that caliber full time would be extremely expensive. On top of it all, they wouldn't be utilizing that person as much as they needed to. To me, that's what fractional is all about. You know, I think where people get confused with the part-time stuff is you're not working there. You're not in their office all the time. And you're not doing all these other, what I'll call tasks. You're really there more to advise, guide, if you will. It's almost like the coaching thing was, you know, back about 20 years ago when coaching first became a word. There's very low point of entry. There are certifications out there, but there is no one governing body, like, say, if you're going for a degree, an MBA, that anyone has to glom onto, which means that for roughly a couple $100, you can get your LLC, you can get your tax ID number, and away you go. And now you have to prove your worth. And in my opinion, if you don't have a lot of experience out of the gate, how are you going to do that? Now, some people use certain tools, which we've talked about in the past, like AI, to make themselves sound smarter or more experienced than they actually are. And I think that's another issue that we're going to run into with a lot of these booming fractionals that are coming in, is they're relying on things like Chat and Claude basically to tell them how to do their job. Yeah. And you can't do that unless you know how to do the job in the first place. Because when we talked about it a couple weeks ago, you know, any one of these machines can kick out something that sounds really, really good, but it doesn't mean it's right, or it doesn't mean it's right for your particular situation. And it takes somebody who's been there, done that, to really discern, you know, what's important. And I think this is where we're getting into the meat of this podcast. It's not to diss on the practice of fractionals, because I think we both believe there's a ton of value to that, especially for small to medium sized companies that don't want to pay $250,000 salaries plus benefits plus equity plus everything else to somebody that has the experience to get them to that next level. It's just, you really need to do your due diligence before you make a commitment to hire that person and know who you're really getting. And I'd be curious, you know, what are, in your world, if you were the business owner, what are some questions you would ask, especially from the financial side, to kind of determine if somebody has the experience necessary to really help you grow your organization on a fractional level?
I would, because I've done this before, I would definitely dig into the things that you've kind of already mentioned, right? How many years of experience do you have? How many years of experience do you specifically have in the fractional world? Okay. And then I would ask, you know, how much experience do you have in my industry? Okay. I'm not big on the industry thing, because CFO is built on accounting. It also has the rest of it, the other half of it, is built on finance. You know, you could come from either side and really be in, you know, in charge. You know, there's certain things that everything has a quirk, right? If you're working in healthcare, you need to be able to speak to medical billing. If you can't, what are you doing in healthcare, right? You're not going to be able to help me. You're going to hit a brick wall. If you're in, I don't know, off the top of my head. But anyway, move on to the next. You know, I would ask those things. And then, as long as you have the time and you're not trying to make your decision in 15 minutes, ask for some stories. Like, ask for some specific examples of what they've done, because they should be able to, like, throw things out, like, and immediately. You know, you want to talk to me, 15 minutes is not enough, right? I've been doing this, like you said, for 35 years. I have plenty of stories in 35 years. I can wipe out a lot of them that are just accounting, and you don't want me to do accounting. You want to talk about the rest of it? Oh my, there's plenty to talk about, right? There's more than enough stuff to bring. That should give you an idea of what someone has been able to do, okay? There are bad players out there, I get it, okay? But they should be very smooth about telling you about things that they've been involved with. Even if they're part of the team to do it, that's fine. That's part of what fractional means, right? You're bringing somebody in. You don't have to pay them the big bucks, the big benefits, the big salary. You know, you're paying them for less, but don't forget, the big key benefit is, if they've done this for 20 years, they've worked with several companies. So they've seen how somebody else has done the same thing, right? They can try to use that to build into something new and fresh that's just for you, but they're relying on that that experience that they already have. So if they're not able to give you any examples of anything they've done, I don't see how they can help you. Right.
So, yeah.
So I think those are the key questions, the experience, the number of years that you're actually in the fractional, not just how many years you've been working, how many have you done in the fractional? And then, do you have any stories that you can tell me of things that you've done?
Yeah. I think the key one, to me, the most important one of that is, give me some examples, give me some stories, show me your success, give me some measure of what you've accomplished. You know, you had mentioned experience in the industry. Now, maybe because I'm an operations guy and I tend to, again, focus on helping discover the process side of things, I work with their internal talent to do that. Maybe in my world, there might be a little less concern about that, because I've worked across all industries for the last 35 years myself. And I've been in industries I had very little recollection about up front, but I learned to, you know, I became knowledgeable through my understanding of working with them. So they kind of taught me the ropes, if you will, and then I was able to apply, again, kind of the standardized knowledge like you were talking about. You know, if you're in finance, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, there's the same basic framework that works across the board. It's kind of the same thing in operations. There's nuances about the industry that I agree with you that you kind of have to get some knowledge of or build some understanding with. But overall, the framework is going to be fairly consistent when it comes to everything from managing people to put process in place. And for me, you know, is asking those questions about what have you done in the past? What's been successful? What have you learned in the process? What have you learned by doing this? So to your example of, you know, how many years have you been doing this fractionally? Well, you know, there's some people that might have been doing this for 6 months fractionally, but then you look at a 30-year career as a senior executive in a company where they took that company from, you know, this point to that point and helped grow it in a number of different ways. That's where I get kind of the, you know, from the fractional side of things, I get less concerned about it because ultimately, again, it comes down to what can you bring to the table. Some people are better at marketing themselves than others. So, you know, there's all that too. Definitely though, looking at what experience do you bring? Where have you had previous success? What were the outcomes and how was it working for somebody on a limited engagement, I guess is another way to look at it. Because this is to me where the owner of the company gets confused. This is where the part-time thing comes in. Because I think the owner of the company looks at you and go, well, you're only going to be working for me for roughly, we'll say on the high side, 10 hours a week, maybe. In most cases, on a fractional basis, it might even be far less than that. You're not there to necessarily fix their problem by getting your hands dirty. You're there to help their team fix their problem by you bringing in the knowledge that you have. And that's where I see a lot of the small to medium-sized companies get confused about this because they always believe that you're going to be there doing the work on their behalf. And that's where you were talking about, you know, if you want a part-time person, fine, hire a part-time person. We can even help you do that.
Yeah.
But that's a different animal because you're looking now for somebody to do a task. You're not looking to gain expertise or knowledge that somebody took decades to build and help solve whatever issue you're facing.
I think I'll add two things. I think you're 100% spot on that. I don't want somebody who can just come in and not be able to do the job without AI or whatever else, right? I always go back to this to the story that, you know, I resented when I was a kid, but my father used to say to me all the time, you can use a calculator once you can do it yourself. Once you can do it yourself, then you can go back and use the calculator. And, you know, so I very much resonate with what you said there on that one. The second thing is I do want to harp a little bit on the fractional side. How many years do you have with the fractional? Because there's a key piece that can make or break whether or not the engagement that you take on as a fractional will work. Okay. The biggest thing is you have to know how to deal with the people.
Right.
You have to understand if you're going to portray that you are the fractional, or are you going to portray that you're just the CFO and don't mention fractional at all? Because if you're going to get this done on a very short basis, like if you're going to get this done quickly, you need their help because you can't do it yourself. You need to show that what you're planning on doing will work. They have to get behind it. That way, when the CEO here's what you're planning to do, and then goes to the people and says, what do you think? And they say, I think it's a great plan. Then you're headed for success. If they're already on the negative and you haven't won them over, you're gone. You know, there's a piece of this that really requires that as a fractional, you have to move quickly. You have to have the personality to be able to work with the people, get them on your side and get the job done. You also have to be able to really express yourself. You know, you're not coming in and just, you know, with your 10 key doing, you know, adding up numbers on tape, you know, you're trying to get people to actually sway to go a certain direction. Remote MD, I was able to get everybody on my side except for the doctor who owned the whole thing. he didn't believe what I was trying to tell him. And he had someone who was running the whole thing who was telling me, yes, we're going this direction. And she said she was talking to him and that he agreed. But clearly at the end of the day, he didn't agree. And that whole thing blew up. But I had the entire accounting department behind me. I had the entire operations department behind me. And the funny part was there were 5 fractional CFOs in this place before I got there. Those 5 people all failed. When their contracts ended, they all ran. The operations people told me that of all those 5, not one of them even talked to the operations people.
Mm.
Not one. So when I brought everybody together and we started to figure out what the problem was, you could start to see that it was starting to get a little better. But it was so far gone that by the doctor not getting behind it and saying, here's, that's great, we're going to do that plan, the whole thing imploded. So we couldn't get there fast enough. So speed matters. And if you're not going to get the speed there, fractional is not going to be very successful. Especially in my case, a lot of the times that I get called, it's already in trouble. So I'm looking for a cleanup, a turnaround, something that has to happen quickly. I have vendors calling every day. Like, that has to be where my speed was everything. If I didn't have the speed, we weren't going to be successful.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's, you know, that's kind of a reverse question. I think that's where the fractional almost needs to grill the owner, because I think we've both been in situations where everything starts out positive, but then you don't get support from one area or another. And that then erodes the trust from maybe the employees that you're working with. Because I can think of a case where I was working with a professional firm and the owner to some degree had bought in, but I couldn't get him to break his own habits. So even though I had interest from the team, they saw what the owner was doing and saw he wasn't making any changes. So they become very reluctant to change their own way of doing things. And that's where, you know, certain processes tend to go off the rails is you're exactly right. You need the team to buy into what you're doing and you need to be able to communicate effectively with them. At the same point, if you're hiring somebody to come in on a limited term basis to work with your people, you also have to embrace that what they're going to ask you to do is probably going to be something that's out of your comfort zone, and you're going to have to implement some of the tactics that they're talking about. And if you're unwilling to do that, you're going to waste a bunch of money, even on a fractional level, to do that. And that to me is where, again, where's the experience come in from the fractional side? Do they understand that? To your point, do they have the personality or the wherewithal to help educate the team and get them all pointed in the right direction? Because they do have to do so rather quickly. They're not there 40 hours a week. They're not there to control every decision that's being made. They're there simply to guide you through the process. And if you are unwilling to, you know, take a step back and allow somebody to do that, this isn't going to work as well as you think. Any other questions that you can think of that you would ask a fractional?
I guess depending on how far into your conversation it is, you know, ask them if they know you.
Right.
Have you heard of our firm? What do you think of our firm? You know, what you're here interviewing for the job. What do you think the job should be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've become a little bit more pushy against the owners and asking them, what do you want me to do? And it's not necessarily that I want them to lay it out for me, like, oh, just tell me where to go. I'm not going to use my brain at all. I'm just going to show up and do what you tell me to do. You know, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I want to know what their level of knowledge is. Like, what are you calling me for? You know, there are too many people who call and say, I need a fractional CFO. So the first thing I ask is why? And a lot, you'd be amazed how many times they can't tell me other than, you know, Johnny says I need one. Or, you know, My cousin's company has one, but they don't know what that person does. You know, I think you and I have talked about companies that are, I'm just going to throw out a size. Please don't quote me on the size. Okay.
Sure.
But if it's under, if you're doing less than $5 million of revenue, and the first thing that you want is a fractional COO, a fractional CFO, a fractional CEO, general contractor, start adding it up and you go, who's in charge? Like, you know, who, you know, you and I going into a company at $5 million, I might actually sit there and take a step back.
Right.
Why? Because depending on what the company is, you know, the company may show pretty quickly what their needs are or where their problems are. And if their problem was process, I would be like, call Dan. I'll take a step back. I'll take a lower number. I'll help you out. I'll help Dan whenever he needs to. But you don't need both of us. You know why? Because most times when the company is below that size, I'm basically saying you need a COO with a good knowledge of finance. Okay. And I'm not talking about, you know, major finance. I'm like, you just need to know somebody who's good with the numbers, you know, on both the units and the dollars. Or you need the CFO who has a decent operational background, can understand it, can follow the process. But you don't need both. You wind up with conflict because they each have their own opinion as to what's more important, which direction it should go. And now you're spending a lot of time or a lot of money trying to reconcile between the two. And I would much rather at that size company, I would much rather you pick one. Who do you work better with? Okay. Knowing that Dan's got me as a backup. I got Dan as a backup. You know, use one of us. Don't use both. Okay. Because it just becomes, it becomes a bit of a nightmare.
Yes.
Right. So,
and that's, yeah, that's yeah. Where I think, you know, even in a situation, this is typically why we don't target companies less than $5 million is there's,
yeah.
Just, there's a greater need for resources in a lot of cases, but there just isn't the financial wherewithal to support it. I do agree with you that I think, and we have done this in the past where, you know, you'll step in for part of it, then I'll step in for something else, and you can kind of alternate back and forth. And I think that's what makes our organization unique is that we can put expertise where expertise is needed when it's needed. It's not just all, it's all going to be a CFO situation, and that's where you're going to live. But now you have these operational issues and the CFO is going to fumble their way through it because that's not what they deal with. And you're going to run into some problems. That to me is a unique scenario that we bring to the table that maybe don't have, or doesn't happen elsewhere. Which then gets to the question that I think is key is how nicely do you play in the sandbox with others? Because I think a lot of fractional executives come in and think they're all that in a bag of donuts. And you quickly realize that they can't interact well with other advisors or with other members of the executive team very well. And that can be a big issue, especially as you get in those companies, even in kind of like the $10 to $20 million range, where now you might have some, I'll call it upper level management that you've got to work with, and you got to get them all pointed the same direction. And if you don't do that, you're going to end up with a huge mess because you're going to recommend something. They're not going to believe it. They're going to push back, or they're going to automatically sabotage everything you're trying to do, which not only makes you look bad, but makes the company look bad. And then also the industry look bad because now they've invested all this money. They didn't get any results and we're back to square one.
Yeah. I think I have one example. I won't go too into depth because people will figure out who it is. but you know, coming out of a job, I wound up doing work for the CEO of the company who, you know, was a CEO of a, well, at least formerly was a CF, was a CEO of a Fortune 50 company.
Mm.
So every time I looked at him, I said, this guy's very much used to having 100 people in his immediate circle below him, right below him, 100 people. He could just bark and 100 people would move, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now he goes into a startup and he puts up the money for the startup. Okay. And people like me have worked for both. I've worked for very big and I've worked for very small. Okay. And I have my very small hat on, which is you don't spend a lot of money. You run lean. You do everything as low budget as possible, and it'll grow on its own. It'll naturally grow. We're not raising funds. We're not doing any more. I'm spending the CEO's money because he's the only investor. And you're like, I'm going to be very careful and we're just going to go slow. The biggest difference between him and I was timing. Because him, he put money in. He was a CEO. You make people move. I'm like, I'm running a company that doesn't even have name recognition. I have $1.50 in the bank. I am going to make it worth $5.50 instead of $1.50. And we're going to get our first clients by just naturally making sure that word of mouth gets us our first clients. That is not what his trajectory was. It's not what his mind was on. But then he wouldn't tell you what his mind was on. So,
left to guess.
Again, it comes back to you're not used to working with a fractional. I'm used to working in a fractional at a startup that my hours are not going to be 40 and be judged on what I'm going to get done in the first week because it's not possible. Right. You know? So you really kind of have to understand that bit of, you know, the questions are not all about the dollars. You know, they're about how do you fit? How does the communication work? Is, you know, are you coming to work for something that no one will do anything unless John, the CEO, says, this is what we're going to do. And then everybody says, oh, okay, John said it's okay. You know, other than that, they're sitting in there twiddling their thumbs going, what am I going to do till John gets back? You know, the CEO I was just talking about was involved in a bunch of other projects. He'd fly off to, you know, wherever he'd fly off to, he'd be gone for weeks. If people were sitting around doing this, that money's going right out the window. Like, it just doesn't, you know, so there was a mismatch. And that's why I look for how do we make this work where, you know, personalities match, intent matches, you know, expected results match. You know, what are you trying to do? Like I said, in my cases, most of the cases were something's already failing. How do we fix that? You know, I don't think you can go to chat or Claude or, you know, and say, hey, fix this. Maybe it'll come up with a good solution, but I can't tell you that it will
come up with a solution.
Yeah.
It might be a solution. It might be a good solution for one company, but for 10 other ones, it might be a complete mess. And that again is back to the situation where if you don't know what you need, yes, you can ask AI and it will give you an answer, but that answer may not be the right one for you unless you have the experience to ferret it out and figure out if it's going to solve your problem or not.
Yeah.
So if they need to get a hold of us, so I think we can wrap up here. We've covered quite a bit. I know there's a number of organizations out there that have either used fractional or are possibly considering it to fill some gaps in their leadership team because we're seeing some shortfalls coming there. We've provided a few questions that maybe you need to ask those people you're speaking with, but if you want to check us out, we would be happy to talk with you as well. Rich, how do they get a hold of you if they want to talk with you first?
Send me an email. It's rich@xcxo.net and happy to chat.
And you can send me an email at dan@xcxo.net. And I as well would be happy to chat. Rich, as we run into the fall here, I think there's going to be a lot of people starting to ask questions with everything that's going on. And I would strongly encourage you to at least take some free, I don't want to say free advice. That's not what we're looking at giving here, but maybe, you know, talk to somebody that might be able to help answer your question or help you understand what your issue is and find a solution to fix it. Maybe it's not us, maybe it's something else, but we'd be more than happy to help talk to you about it. Rich, as always, thanks again, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Books and the Biz. If today's conversation sparked new ideas for your company, the team at XCXO can help you turn those ideas into action. XCXO brings together seasoned executives, fractional CEOs, COOs, CFOs, and CXOs who step into your business with the experience, strategy, and leadership to drive real results. Whether you're trying to scale, strengthen operations, improve profitability, or prepare for transition, our experts help you move faster and lead with confidence. To learn more or start a conversation, visit xcxo.net. That's xcxo.net, your shortcut to stronger leadership and a better-run business. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on Books and the Biz.